There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. And we are here on what should be the opening weekend of Big Ten football and Indiana football in 2020. However, it is not. We'll discuss that and a little bit more on the situation in the Big Ten as three other Power Five conferences prepare to open the season either this weekend or later this month. We had an FCS game last weekend in, I guess, what we'll call week zero, and it went off without a hitch as far as we know. So there are a lot of Big Ten fans who might be looking around and wondering, was this the right decision? But we'll see. Before we get into that, after we get into that, we'll get into Indiana's history with Wisconsin, talk a little bit about that matchup historically, you know, our favorite memories, big time performances on both sides and all of that. But before we get into that, we have a word from our sponsors over at Bet Online. As sports keep coming back, unless you're the Big Ten, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, betonline.ag. Major League Baseball and the NBA are in full swing, as well as the NHL, and there are no shortages of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to be on. Also, tune in as Floyd Money Mayweather joins the BetOnline team in a new segment called The Ice is Right, where he talks about his expensive jewelry collection. He'll give you the chance to win some great prizes and bet on the cost of his bling. Visit betonline.ag today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the welcome back to sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Well, TJ, if you couldn't tell from my tone, I'm a little upset that the Big Ten is not playing football this weekend.
It's rough. I mean, we have, you know, we've talked before here in the past couple of weeks, you know, offline about just how bizarre it is that, you know, Pee Wee football in this state playing, middle school football playing in most cases, high school football, so far so good, 2 weeks in, and that's been the most exciting thing sports-wise we've had around here in terms of football. Yep. Is Brownsburg beating an Ohio powerhouse in a fun game on TV.
Wild game.
Yeah. NFL on track to play, and the Colts are going to have at least some fans in the cavernous Lucas Oil Stadium. Notre Dame looks like, despite their issues, looks like they're going to play. Indiana and Purdue are not. It's bizarre. It really is. What, you know, you have to ask yourself, what makes Indiana and Purdue's situations so different than the rest of them? And the answer is nothing. In reality, nothing. Other than the Big Ten University presidents, in my opinion, took some information that interpreted it a way differently than others have, came to conclusion, I think, based on a fear of litigation over, you know, potential long-term health effects to a player if they contract COVID and, you know, become seriously ill while playing Big Ten football. That appears to be the biggest driving factor to me, was a fear of long-term litigation and the cost that that could have. I do think it's somewhat ironic that, you know, maybe a fear of litigation drove the decision to postpone or cancel fall football. The Big Ten is currently being sued for that very decision. Now, does that suit have merit? Does it have any way to go anywhere and really cause any damage to the Big Ten? Absolutely not. Other than just another in a growing list of, you know, PR nightmares that the Big Ten has dealt with here in the past couple weeks. It's incredibly frustrating. We should be having a conversation right now about how Indiana matches up with Wisconsin in what would have been a great showcase for Indiana football, or, you know, another embarrassing, you know, mud stomping by the Wisconsin Badgers of Indiana football. But it would have been a great spot on a Friday night in Camp Randall. That would have been really cool. And instead, you know, we're going to talk about how the season is maybe going to happen in November, but not going to happen, you know, this weekend. And we're going to discuss the historical matchup series between the two schools. It's frustrating. And there's also a feeling of just, for me at least, it has tainted my excitement for the rest of college football, which really just angers me because nothing should take away from that. But with the Big Ten not playing, it's really soured how much I'm looking forward to the rest of the conferences that are playing.
Yeah, and you know, we talked a couple weeks ago, TJ, about 3 weeks ago, when the news dropped that the Big Ten was postponing their season on August 11th, and it looked at the time like it could be the right decision. Things were trending in a way where cases were spiking, and you had all this myocarditis stuff, which is not a unique ailment to people who with viruses. It's one of the side effects, and it's a terrible side effect, but it is a reaction to any virus, and it just happens that you know COVID's a very dangerous virus, and it's prevalent. But you know, it was, I think, 6 days or 5 days between the schedule drop, and you really had people feeling excited and good. And then all of a sudden you hit the brakes, and nothing really changed to me in terms of the health information. The only thing that I will point to, I think it's an amateurism issue. You know, you had the Pac-12 and the Big Ten join forces in the let them play and that movement. And, you know, it screams to me that if they had let these two conferences play, you're now subjecting these student athletes to something that a normal student probably wouldn't be subjected to, even though the Big Ten is opening up campuses and everybody's opening up campuses. Had they closed campuses to the general public and created a semi-bubble or even a bubble for that matter, they probably would have the season. But the power goes back to the players, saying, hey, if it's not safe on campus for students, we're not treated as normal students and we deserve a larger slice of the pie. So I think that played into it, along with the litigation on long-term health. But to me, the Big Ten looks really, really bad right now. And, you know, only time will tell, you know, what will happen. If the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 all get their seasons off without a hitch, you know, the Big Ten's sitting there with egg on their face. Now, on the other side, if disaster unfortunately strikes these conferences playing and there's outbreaks and players have to retire due to issues, then it's on – then the Big Ten looks smart. And only time will tell. But right now you're sitting here, other teams are playing, you're frustrated. The Big Ten has not handled this well at all. And I know a lot of people are going after Kevin Warren for it, but it's the guys who he works for that have not been transparent, that have not been available to the media, who have not said anything. It's the presence of these universities who have open campus so they could charge full tuition for students, and then threw the ball in the students' courts and said, hey, knock off these parties and all that stuff, or we're going virtual, which takes all the responsibility off the university and giving refunds and all that stuff. If you came in and said, hey, it's not safe enough, we're going virtual, people are going to demand that they get some of that room and board back. But if student parties and frat parties and all that stuff force their hand, it kind of takes the liability away from the school and puts it on the students in terms of who's paying for it. But again, you're a college university president. You have to know that you're bringing back tens of thousands of 18 to 22-year-olds, and they're going to do what 18 and 22-year-olds do, think they're invincible, go out and party, and socialize. I don't know if all these presidents are so far removed in their ivory tower, but right now they're counting their tuition money, and it's a really, really bad look that not have Pac-12 or Big Ten football starting in the fall. And it's a decision that, as time has gone on, I've got angrier and angrier. At first it was, okay, I understand why they did it. There's all this data, there's the myocarditis, but you had enough time to maybe kick the can down the road a little bit. Maybe you didn't have to start on September 5th. Maybe you start like the SEC on September 26th and things like that. But to me, it's a terrible look. You're getting dragged through the mud in the media. You're getting dragged through the mud on social media by fans. You know, and there's some really funny stuff out there with parody videos, but it's, come on. It's... And then now you're waffling to go back into November, and that's the peak of flu season, and it's the end of these seasons where the other conferences are playing. Are you going to be eligible to play in the national title game? If you're not, what's the point? It's just a whole big mess, and it's really, really irking me. But let's get on to a, I guess, slightly happier topic, is Indiana's history against Wisconsin. It is not much happier. But Indiana was supposed to open up at Wisconsin, like you said, TJ. Historically, the Badgers have had Indiana's number. They lead the all-time series 41-18 with two ties in there. Wisconsin's currently on a 10-game win streak. The last IU win came in 2002. Just what about this matchup has IU just reeling right now?
Well, I mean, you mentioned the 10-game winning streak. Really, for me, over the past, I'd say, decade, you know, the 10 games, which Indiana's last win was 2002, but really the last, I think it's been seven games over the past 11 years, and the closest one, which is hard to believe, but the closest one was 2017. Tom Allen's, you know, team took on, I believe it was Paul Christ already at that time. So yep. Lost 42-17. That is the closest that Indiana has been to Wisconsin since 2009, which is mind-boggling. I mean, there are some absolutely ridiculous beatdowns in that span. And I think looking back on those games and remembering those games, there's not a team that I have gone into having less hope than I did against Indiana, or when it was Indiana going against Wisconsin, while Kevin Wilson or Bill Lynch were the coaches. I had absolutely zero hope going into those contests. Against Michigan, yep. I thought there was a chance. Ohio State, I thought, well, you never know. Wisconsin, nope, no chance. No matter what the spread was, if I would ever bet against Indiana, I would have bet on the Badgers. And I think the biggest reason for that is Wisconsin's physicality and rushing game against IU's defensive lines. It has been a complete and total mismatch, not like varsity versus JV, like varsity versus a freshman team. Indiana's defensive lines have been completely bullied by Wisconsin's offensive lines in those matchups. Look at the rushing totals that Wisconsin has had in those games. It's not pretty at all. It's complete domination. So I think that is the biggest problem that IU's had. And it's one of the reasons I was so much looking forward to this matchup, because I really don't think that would have been the case anymore. Tom Allen's Indiana teams, you can say what you want about them. They are not perfect. I get that. But these guys aren't soft. And the defensive line that IU has is not one that's any longer going to be pushed around to the effect or to the extent that Wisconsin has in the past. I think Wisconsin still would have run the ball, you know, pretty well, because they do that against everybody. But they would not have bullied Indiana. It's a different IU program, and I was looking forward to seeing that because, you know, in my opinion, this was a really good measuring stick game for IU, and I was really curious to see, you know, just how far have we come in terms of sheer physicality. Wisconsin's going to show that one way or the other. It's going to either show, hey, you're a physical team, and you're willing to fight in the trenches, or they'll expose you as just a team that doesn't have the size, doesn't have the girth, doesn't have the muscle to play that prototypical old school Big Ten football.
Yeah.
So that's for me the biggest one thing is the line play, offensive line for Wisconsin, defensive line for IU. It's been such a mismatch.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's immediately what everybody goes to. And, you know, you look at the game in 2012 where, you know, Wisconsin won 62-14. And this was in Bloomington. IU had an outside shot at representing whatever leaders or legends division they were in. But you look at 2012 and – Wisconsin ran for Memorial Stadium record 564 yards and 7 rushing touchdowns on 64 attempts. And then for me in this matchup, it's about IU's offense. You know, outside of 2009 when they scored 28 points, they scored 20 once since 2005, and that was twice, and that was in 2008 in garbage time when they got up 20, and then in 2010 it was 83-20, and there have been some good IU offenses. There have been some good IU offenses going up to Madison that were just no shows. 2013. IU had arguably its best offense of the Kevin Wilson era. They lost 51-3. You go back to 2007. IU had a very good offense with Kellen Lewis and James Hardy. They lose 33-3. You know, 2006, only 17 points. You know, IU's offense hasn't been awful outside of 2011. And the most points they put up has been 28, and that was in 2009. So to me, it's the Badgers' defense has always been it's like the offense, TJ, where it's just a beatdown. They go man against man, play very simple defense, and just bully you. It's kind of like the old saying in Top Gun: "Well, it bores you to death until you make a mistake." That's kind of what Wisconsin does. They're just going to do their thing until somebody else messes up. And unfortunately for IU, they tend to, you know, have a fumble or a big penalty or a block kick or an interception or things like that. So it's just historically been a bad matchup since the early 90s, and it just hasn't gone IU's way. And it's frustrating because Wisconsin does – they don't do anything special. Like, you could understand if you're playing Navy, they run the option. And it's kind of unique. But Wisconsin, they just line up and kick your butt. And that's the most frustrating thing about it. And that's the most frustrating thing about playing a team like Wisconsin is that you know what's coming and you still can't stop it. And, you know, it's been that way for a while. So let's get back on the bright side of things. What is your favorite IU memory against playing Wisconsin?
Oh, boy. I mean, there's very few to pick from in our lifetime. You know, Indiana did have a five-game winning streak during the Bill Mallory era. I believe it was 89 to 93. And then that was pretty much the last positive, with the exception of the 2002 game, which I am going to write about later this week. Indiana knocks off a ranked Wisconsin team. Now, Wisconsin did not end up being all that good. I think they ended up finishing, I want to say, 8-6 maybe, or 8-5. I don't know. But they weren't great. But still, a 15th ranked at the time in Wisconsin team in Jerry DiNardo's first season in charge in Bloomington. IU was not good. Finished the year 3-9, and their lone Big Ten win, very surprisingly, came by 3 over Wisconsin. That was the a roster that included Jabron Hamden. To give you an idea of how long it's been since IU has been successful against Wisconsin, it was Jabron Hamden as the quarterback for the Hoosiers, and he would go on to get drafted by the Redskins very late in that upcoming NFL draft. But that one's pretty much the only positive. It was kind of a season not very good, but kind of on par with where IU's program was at the time. That was a rare bright spot for Indiana. It joined, I think their other wins were like Central Michigan and William and Mary, maybe. Yeah. And then the albatross in there that really stands out is Wisconsin. It's not a game that stands out in your memory as anything all that meaningful, as we know how the DiNardo era ended up. So it was not a signifier of things to come, and it didn't help Indiana accomplish anything that year, but still a very nice win for Indiana in what has been a series here really since the turn of the century that Wisconsin has bludgeoned the Hoosiers. Anytime you got even close, it was worth celebrating.
Oh, yeah, I remember watching that game in New York with my dad. That was a fun game to watch. I think it was a 22-point comeback. Or IU scored 22 or 23 straight points. It was a dreary day in Bloomington. It was just a fun game to watch and watch that comeback.
I think it was like mid-October, right? Like middle of the season-ish.
Yeah, one of those foggy, cool – you know, Bloomington days. And, you know, you think about it and you look back at the DiNardo era, and he beat three ranked teams, and he beat Oregon at Oregon, he beat Wisconsin, and he beat a ranked Minnesota team. And you see all these people now who are clamoring for ranked wins. And it really, you know, and I go back and forth on it, TJ, and you look every time, you know, IU beat Missouri, it was labeled the biggest win ever. They beat Michigan State at home, and it was labeled it as a program-changing win, things like that. But it's what you do after those games. And Indiana lost out the rest of the season that year, and, you know, you saw what they did.
Yeah.
After 2004 with Oregon and Minnesota and things like that, you know, there are games that I'd rather win the games that you should win and get to a bowl than maybe pull off an albatross upset against a team and finish 3-9. Now, does IU need to get to that point to get ranked wins regularly? And God knows they have more than enough chances. But going back to my favorite memory, I'll take you back a year earlier to Indiana's 63-32 win over Wisconsin at Camp Randall, where Indiana put up 32 points in the first quarter, and LeBron Williams and Antoine Randle-Elk just went off.
Yeah.
And it was an unbelievable day for both of them. LeBron Williams ran for 280 yards and six touchdowns. Randle-Elk added 102 yards on the ground, 182 yards passing, and another touchdown through the air. Brian Lewis added a touchdown, and it was just a butt whooping. And Indiana replayed that game early on in the pandemic as part of their Hoosier Classic series, which I really, really enjoyed. And it had the in-stadium feed on it, which I actually enjoyed watching as well, where it didn't have commentators. And it's like being at the game and you have to watch and all those things. And it was fun watching the Wisconsin game because the mic was right next to a Wisconsin fan who was furious the entire game. And it was hilarious. And you could just imagine being there. But that was a game, you had IU's defense played pretty well. They, even though they gave up 32 points, it was, they had a whole bunch of tackles for losses to go up there. And while they're doing jump around, half the stadium is making their way out. It was just a phenomenal scene. And it's something that, you look at where Wisconsin was in the mid-80s, early 90s, and it's not too hard to imagine that IU could do that. They were bad. They were a bad football team in the late 80s and early 90s when Barry Alvarez started to take over, changed the culture, made an identity for that team, and that identity was that they're going to run the ball down your throat and they're going to play really, really good defense. And maybe every so often you get a Russell Wilson or a Joel Stave or a quarterback who can make some plays more than just a play-action pass and a 15-yard dump-off downfield, and you make a run towards a Big Ten title. And, you kind of look at that blueprint, and they have the homegrown Wisconsin linemen who come in and just kick butt. And you look at it and you say, well, being in the Big Ten East, it might not be as easy, but why not Indiana? Bloomington's a nice enough place and you got the facilities and you have the opportunity to play all these teams in the Big Ten East. Unless they start canceling stuff again, but it's like, why not us? So that's what I take away from that.
Yeah.
And before we go on to top performances, TJ, let's get another word in from our sponsor over at Bet Online. As sports keep coming back, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, betonline.ag. Major League Baseball and the NBA are in full swing. College football outside of the Big Ten and Pac-12 are coming back as well. And there are no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit betonline.ag today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all of the welcome back to sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering expert. So let's go into top performances. Obviously, it's a good segue from that 2001 game where LeBron Williams went off 280 yards on 20 carries, a 14-yard average, six touchdowns. What top performance on either side stands out to you the most?
I mean, my answer was the LeBron Williams game. You don't find guys do that against really anybody, but against Big Ten opposition, particularly doing it for Indiana against Wisconsin, that's certainly a rarity. And to see, that kind of those kind of numbers for Indiana running back,
against Wisconsin is incredibly impressive. It's one that I don't see being surpassed by any individual player for the Hoosiers. I certainly would love to be wrong about that, but that one would be really hard to beat. You're right. You know, you mentioned Barry Alvarez. You're absolutely right about that. It's hard to understate overstate the impact that Barry Alvarez has had on Wisconsin athletics. You know, it tells you a lot about what, you know, I'm sure that a lot of people had things to do with this, but it tells you a lot about what one outstanding individual, an outstanding leader within an athletic department, what kind of impact they can have. I know it's, you know, it's easy to dismiss things like that, like a football coach or a athletic director. It's easy to dismiss those individuals in the grand scheme of things, but they can absolutely change the course of, you know, of your program, not just in the short term, but for the long term, and rewrite the narrative program of that school. And I know that, you know, we're football. So I just wanted to get that in there. It's, you know, you can't overstate the impact that one guy could have. It's unlikely, very unlikely. It does not happen often. But you have to look no further than Wisconsin to see how one man can completely change the course of a program. So LeVron Williams is my pick, and if we're, I guess, choosing standout performances for Wisconsin, we'll give that award to Barry Alvarez for all he's accomplished in his time in Madison.
Yeah, I'm going to start with Wisconsin's standout performance. I go back to that 2012 game, sitting in the stands at Memorial Stadium, record 564 rushing yards on 64 carries. 7 touchdowns. You look at the line score, Monte Ball had 27 carries for 198 yards, 3 touchdowns. James White, 14 carries for 161 yards, 2 touchdowns. Melvin Gordon, 8 carries, 96 yards and a touchdown. I mean, that's a loaded backfield.
That's a good backfield.
That's a backfield that you had a three-headed monster, and then I think they ended up dropping 70 also on Nebraska in the Big Ten title game. Speaking of people who are making the Big Ten mad, Nebraska. But for IU, to me, it's going back to that 2002 game. And you look at the numbers that Jabron Hamden put up in 2002. It was quite an impressive performance. He's 24 of 36, 310 yards, 4 touchdowns, a pick. He was sacked 5 times. He had a net loss of negative 3 yards, a net loss of 3 yards, but he added 24 non-sack rushing yards as well. He spread the ball around. Four receivers had at least 4 receptions or more. 4 different guys caught touchdown passes, and it was just, you know, a second half comeback. IU scored 15 points in the fourth quarter, shut out Wisconsin in the fourth quarter to win 32-29, and that's the standout. That's a performance I remember the best in that year as well. You could also go to 2009, where IU lost 31-28, and you look at Tanda Doss put up a 2-touchdown game with six catches. Ben Chappell threw for 323 yards and 3 touchdowns. So there have been a couple of really good quarterback performances against Wisconsin, but they are few and far between. So, TJ, we're nearing the end of the podcast. Any final closing thoughts before we enter the first full week of FBS football?
No, I will have a kind of a weekly
maybe two pieces, at least one article every week on national college football stuff up on Hoosier Huddle. I'll try to give that kind of a unique, you know, angle to it. It won't be just a, hey, these, here's the schedule for this week. It'll be something a little bit more interesting than that. So give that a read. Not much happening this Saturday, but hey, it's football. It's better than nothing. Memphis and Arkansas State, probably the best game, if you will, on paper.
Navy-BYU.
Navy-BYU on Monday. That's true. That's part of it. Yeah, I was thinking more Saturday, but you're right about that.
Yeah.
The week two kind of kicks off more of your Power 5 games and some more matchups. It'll be of interest. But, I'm bitter about the way this is going for the Big Ten. I hope we get to see Indiana play something resembling a full schedule or at least an interesting eight games or something. I think that this team, you know, will be fun to watch. But for now, since we can't control that, I guess we can, you know, at least watch college football and enjoy what we do have. And we'll have stuff up on the site regarding that, and I know there's going to be a lot of cool stuff up, Indiana-centric, Indiana-focused for that as well. So give that a read and try to hang in there. I know that's an incredibly frustrating time for IU fans and for Big Ten fans, but hopefully we have something resembling a season to look forward to, and we'll have Hoosier Huddle will be there to cover it or not cover it. If it doesn't, we'll go on either way.
Yeah, we'll just start making up things from 1800s, play video games, give random top five lists, top five fourth string long snappers and Big Ten. You know, we're scrapping the bottom of the wheel here on some content, but we also have our high school players, those of them who are playing. We have them covered as well. We've covered recruiting. I talked to Jordan Williams this weekend about his big performance. He was electric on Saturday, if you guys missed it. Trinity Christian down in Texas had a big, big win over Knoxville Catholic. And it was fun to watch Jordan Williams go off. But my final thoughts on the Big Ten, it just came out that it was Iowa, Nebraska, and Ohio State who voted not to cancel the season or postpone the season. So those are the three that went against the vote. It looked like it. So it would be an 11-3 vote. If Adam Rittenberg's sources are correct, it seems that the Big Ten does have a leak in their ship and they need to get it together. But for me, it's I hate rooting against people, but there's a little bit of me that hopes that nobody plays. But I don't think that's realistic. So, you know, might as well enjoy it while it's here. Pick an ACC team, an SEC team, or Big 12 team. Adopt them as your team this year and things like that. Enjoy it. Enjoy college football while we have it. We'll see what the Big Ten does. We'll break it down when it does happen and things like that. But it's, you know, you have baseball playoffs warming up, you have NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs going on underway, and you have the beginning of college football in the NFL. So it's a great time to be a sports fan. You could get out of all your social obligations and sit in front of the TV. So while there's no Big Ten being played, no Indiana football, and we're disappointed about that, there's plenty of other stuff to do. So we'll see. What my biggest thing is, I don't want the 2021 season to be impacted. That's my big thing. If you're gonna play, play it where you don't play parts of two seasons. So that's gonna do it for tonight's show. We have one more word from our sponsor over at Manscaped. 2020 has been the year of things happening that are completely out of your control. But there is one thing you can control, and that's shaving. That's your shaving. Our sponsors over at Manscaped are here to remind you to do so. So go to manscaped.com, check out some of these life-changing products. Like the Shears 2.0, it's a four-piece nail kit featuring tempered stainless steel tools that include tip tweezers, rounded pointless scissors, and all that stuff. So head over to manscaped.com. In fact, listeners of this show will get 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code armchair. It's time to grab 2020 by the horns by shaving that front. All right. That does it for today's show. We'll be back next week as we look at the history of the Penn State series. So what we're going to do is go through that 2020 schedule. We might actually throw in the non-conference in there as well. So we'll go through game by game. We'll touch on who's, you know, the history behind it, some big-time performances on both sides and big-time performers. So thank you for joining us. Stay safe. Wear a mask. And hopefully we have Big Ten football back before you know it.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.